Well, there will be a lot of sports for you to watch on TV. And here to help us break down a number of those events is Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, as always, my friend, a pleasure to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Andy. How about you doing?
So far, so good. And, you know, I think the biggest event of the weekend, without question, the NFL slate, AFC Championship and NFC Championships taking place on Sunday. 3:05 kick for the NFC battle between the Saints and Rams, and I believe it's 6:40. It's the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's get in to this NFL slate and begin with the AFC title game. The weather conditions aren't going to be nearly as awful as we originally thought. They were calling for really cold temperatures, all kinds of awful weather at Arrowhead. Kansas City right now giving 3. That doesn't really seem to faze people as much as the over-under right now at 55.5. With the offenses that are involved in this game, and more importantly, the defenses that are involved in this matchup, you think a lot of people will be tempted to take the over in this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we saw a move down from 58, 57.5 to 54 or 54.5 early in the week because of, as you mentioned, the expectation of some bad weather. And since then, we've gone back up into that 55.5 range. And I think that that's probably what we'll continue to see as we get closer to kickoff. I mean, you know, you've got Andy Reid here who, you know, does have a penchant for getting very conservative in big games. So that's obviously a worry, but he hasn't shown that yet this year with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, he's got a Ferrari now instead of a reliable, you know, point A to point B type of quarterback like Alex Smith. So, you know, he's kept his foot on the gas in most of the games this year. New England, they're not going to let up. And even if they do, you can still run the football in Kansas City. So I think both of these offenses do have success. I think if you're going to play this game, if you have the opportunity, I probably like the first half over a little bit more because I think the two scripted drives will be successful for both teams. And then if we get into the second half and the Patriots are running the football, taking the air out of it, if Kansas City gets conservative, you know, maybe that hurts you a little bit on the over 55.5. But I think the first half, I would expect some scoring in the first half of this game.
What about the Chiefs' defense, Adam? I mean, everyone thought that Indianapolis would be able to score with them, and for the most part, the Chiefs' defense shut them down last week. It seems people are kind of ignored that fact. Do we not want to look into that?
I mean, you know, I think for one thing, Indianapolis was in such a bad spot playing a third straight road game, and, you know, really, I mean, they've been playing playoff games for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Really hasn't been the case for New England. They're a much fresher team. They've got a lot more offensive balance, particularly because Sony Michel runs the football so well. So I think Kansas City faces a little bit of a different test here. Kansas City, I mean, the best thing about their defense is the pass rush. And in fact, you know, they were top 3 in the NFL in sacks this year. They just don't stop the run particularly well. So I think New England schematically sets up a lot better than Indianapolis did.
A 3-point spread for both games with both the home teams being the favorites. That just feels like Vegas's way of playing it safe. Is that a safe assumption? I mean, just based on what we see with both of these matchups, 3 points doesn't really seem to matter much.
No, I mean, I think what it ultimately is that, you know, you put home field advantage on these. And really, I think New Orleans, I think the Superdome's probably worth closer to 3.5 points in the playoffs, especially if you take into consideration Jared Goff's first playoff start. I think 3 for Kansas City is fair. There's been a lot of talk about how much better New England was at home. In fact, if you look at their home splits, they were the best team in the NFL. On the road, they were average or below average. So I think 3 with a little bit of extra juice is pretty fair for the home field advantage for Kansas City. So, you know, what these two lines imply is that if these teams played on a neutral field, the game would be a pick 'em. And I think that that's probably pretty fair. And you know, you also let the betting market decide, you know, which team should be the neutral site favorite here. And right now, it seems like opinions are pretty split.
Let's dive into this NFC title game, because I feel like a lot of people are jumping on the Saints, and there are a lot of people forgetting about the Rams. But that's a pretty darn good defense that the Rams have. And I, as far as I can tell, I haven't seen a whole lot of movement on that 3:05 game down in New Orleans. I mean, as you mentioned, playing inside the dome means a little something more. Not that it's easy to play at Arrowhead, but, you know, when you play inside the dome, all of that noise is contained. That can make things awfully difficult. You think anybody's jumping on the Rams here?
I think that there are some people that have. I mean, a lot of places this number was 3.5 earlier on in the week, and some Rams people came in, took that half point off the line, bumped it back down to 3. I mean, for me, I like New Orleans a little bit in this situation. I like the total a little bit more on this game. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where you're very worried about a quarterback making his first playoff road start. Even if the Rams have this great running game that they do, with now a two-headed monster now that C.J. Anderson has emerged. But I think for the Saints, I mean, the obvious game plan here is to flood the box and then make Jared Goff beat you. And if they can do that in the first quarter of this game, I may look to do something with New Orleans from a live betting standpoint. You know, if I was somebody who was out there looking for action on the game, just because if the Rams can't run the football as proficiently as they have here over the last few weeks, that's what makes it really tough for them. And that's the uncertainty that's slapped onto this game.
Yes, I would agree with all of that. There's a ton of uncertainty, especially when you're talking about a team primarily made of guys that are, in many cases, making their first postseason appearances, or I guess second because they played last week as well. But that's the great unknown here. Because you do have a couple of teams in the Saints and the Patriots who have some guys who have been there before. But, you know, you take a look at the Chiefs. Yeah, they've got guys who have been there before. But up until last week, this is a Chiefs team that hadn't had a whole lot of success in the postseason under Andy Reid. So there are a couple of really interesting matchups here. And I know prop bets don't really get a whole lot of pub until we get to the Super Bowl because there are a lot of other prop bets outside the game that actually get a lot more run. But going into this weekend slate, are there any prop bets that you've seen pop up that look somewhat intriguing?
Yeah, there are a couple. I mean, you know, one of the things that I don't think enough people are talking about here with these two games, and while I do like, you know, Kansas City a little bit in the late game and New Orleans a little bit in the early game, you know, Drew Brees last week, I mean, he threw the arm punt on the first possession, and then he threw that out route on the next possession that almost got picked off. There was not a whole lot of zip on that ball. And then Tom Brady. I mean, you know, we've got two guys, one's approaching 40, one's over 40. You know, I don't really know how much of a vertical threat the Saints or the Patriots are going to be this weekend. So, you know, I think in both of those situations, I like the running backs. I mean, I like Mark Ingram a little bit here this week to go over his rushing yards total. I like Sony Michel over 75.5. I mean, I think that both Sean Payton and Bill Belichick are self-aware enough to know that, you know, we're not talking about 2009 Drew Brees or, you know, 2013 Tom Brady. I mean, you've got to have balance here. And I think you need to take some of the pressure off of those guys a little bit. So I think the running backs, you know, really for three of these four teams, Kansas City excepted, I think the running backs are the ones that really shine.
Should be interesting to watch both games on Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll turn our attention now to college hoops. Well, you and I went back and forth via email earlier today talking about tonight's Ohio State-Maryland matchup. It's also odd that they're playing on Friday. I know we discussed that yesterday, so we'll leave that alone. But Ohio State, after really having a tough time over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, they're on a three-game bender right now where they've turned the ball over a lot. They've not shot particularly well. Any idea why, despite all of that, they're favored to beat Maryland this evening?
Well, there's definitely some home court advantage, you know, thrown into play here. And it's not a particularly great spot for Maryland. I mean, they're only two road games in conference play, Rutgers and Minnesota. Neither one of those seems particularly good. Maryland goes up to East Lansing to take on Sparty on Monday. So maybe a little bit of a look-ahead factor kind of incorporated into the line here a little bit. But for as bad as Ohio State has looked offensively lately, they're still a top 20 defense from an efficiency standpoint, top 20 in effective field goal percentage against. They're 21st in three-point percentage against, top 35 in two-point percentage defense. So this is still a really, really good defensive team. And Maryland hasn't run into a whole lot of good defensive teams so far. They played Virginia and lost that game at home. Purdue's not the same level they usually are on defense yet. So I think that's really the catalyst here for this, is that you've got an Ohio State team that people, realistically speaking, should expect them to be very desperate tonight. And they're a very solid defensive team. And I think that could give Maryland some problems. I mean, you know, Ohio State hasn't allowed more than 6 made three-pointers in the last 5 games. Maryland does shoot the 3 a little bit. It is a big component of their offense. So I guess that would be it. But I have a real hard time laying points with the Buckeyes right now.
Yeah, given the way they've played the last couple of weeks, it would be difficult to go into this game tonight with any kind of confidence. They haven't played in 6 days, which I think sometimes that hurts you, but in some cases that can help you because they played so poorly. Sometimes those 6 days could be enough to wash away the bad play. All right. This weekend also, some interesting college hoops matchups as well. A big one tomorrow in the ACC featuring Virginia and Duke.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge game. And in fact, this line actually opened up Duke minus 4.5 here a little bit before we're doing this spot and immediately got bet down to Duke minus 2.5. They are the home team. You do have to respect Cameron Indoor. I mean, it's, you know, they don't call him the Cameron Crazies for nothing. But, man, it's really hard to go against Virginia. I mean, we all know they're great defensively, and that pack line defense is outstanding. And, you know, it'll be a good test for somebody like Zion Williamson, who obviously Cavs fans are very interested in right now. But for Virginia, offensively, this is the best team Tony Bennett has had. I mean, they're third in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency, second, of course, in defense. They are the best team in the country. And the question that I have for this game is, you know, who wins out from a pace standpoint? Because Duke, top 10 in pace, Virginia dead last in the country in pace. Who wins? I mean, is Virginia comfortable playing at a quickened pace? Is Duke comfortable playing at a slower pace? That's really what I'm interested in seeing here. But I'll tell you what, you know, you've got a lot of freshman talent for this Duke team. Williamson, Barrett, Reddish, you know, Trey Jones getting hurt in that loss to Syracuse. But, you know, this is a Duke team that they've never seen anything like this before. And you've got an experienced Virginia team here that will not be fazed whatsoever by the atmosphere. I actually kind of like the Cavaliers a little bit, I think, to pull that minor upset.
One of many great sporting events that you can watch this weekend if you are snowed in or you don't want to go outside when temperatures hover in the mid-teens on Sunday and into Monday. Adam, always a pleasure, my friend. We appreciate the time. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
Good to chat with you guys. Stay warm.
Thanks, Adam.
You too.
You do the same again. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and BangTheBook Radio.